Thank you, church. Thank you for taking some time to just worship the Lord this morning. Boy, how we need that refreshing, don't we? We kind of, I don't know about you all, but it just kind of recenters what I'm about, who I should be about, and what I should be concerned over is not just the things of me and my world, but rather the things of God. And what better way than to take yourself and immerse yourself into His presence and to ask yourself, why am I on this earth? And that whole reason is summed up in this simple answer. You are here to benefit God and to be a benefit for Him. You know, so many times we kind of get it into the wrong atmosphere in our thinking. We think that, you know, God's here to serve us. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are here to serve God. You know, although He's not needy, He needs to hear that we are His children, that we are here to worship Him first and foremost. The title of today's message is Having a Clear and Present Ethos. Ethos. An unfamiliar word, it's not one that I use every day in my language. If I did, then I would just think that I was way up here, and I'm not. I'm here education-wise, and I appreciate that because God comes to the common man. Amen? He doesn't come just to the highly intellectual. Praise God. He doesn't come to those who are just genuinely handsome. Thank you again, God. But He comes to the everyday person. And He wants to establish within us an ethos, ethics is a word that comes out of that word, ethos. And fortunately, God doesn't rely on us to determine what's right and what's wrong. Although that's exactly where the world is trying to take us today, amen? In fact, I just hate one of the slogans that are out there today. Live your own truth. And it's in reference to those who would like to change who they are and their physical makeup. But they're saying, live your own truth. Just be who you are. Instead of be who you are created to be like Christ Jesus. Because that's exactly what the Bible calls us to do, right? I am not Billy Graham. Shock. I am not, and you name whatever popular speaker is out there. I am not that person. I am Don Tijima. And guess what? I have my own unique gifts and abilities. Some are appreciated, some are not. But to the best of my abilities, I'm trying to follow after God. And I trust that that's the same thing that you're trying to do because that's what brings us all in unity in the body of Christ. It's having a clear and present ethos. It's a standard of living that we are all called to be a part of. Now, there's a definition inside your bulletin of ethos. And it goes like this. What does it say? The definition of ethos is the united beliefs underlining and giving rise to attitudes and actions by a group that, when judged, those beliefs should be found to be equal and true for everyone. Lord God, this is my prayer this morning, John 17:17. It's a prayer that you prayed, Jesus. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. My opinion's not truth. Your word is truth. So, Lord, empower me with the ability through your Holy Spirit to speak your word. And nothing more. For your word is truth. The word of men. They can take us all over the map. But your word is truth. Sanctify us today, Lord, by your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you determine right from wrong? How do you do that? How do we come to this place in our life where we are set in what we think is right or wrong? We've all been influenced throughout our lives as we have grown older. I did not say you matured. I did say you have grown older. It's what my sisters tell me all the time. Donald, you're growing older, but you're not growing mature. Stop picking on me, sisters. We have been given beliefs about what is right and wrong. And those beliefs, get this, parents, because this is really cool. Parents, lift up. Listen in. 60% of what we believe is right or wrong comes directly from the influence of our parents. Of what we have determined is right or wrong in our life comes from our parents. The rest of it comes from other influences, our peers, those things that maybe we have read and we have determined, hey, this is a right thing or this is a wrong thing. The world is trying to erase the lines of what is right and wrong. And guess what? There is nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. In fact, back in Judges chapter 19, it says, and in those days, men decided for themselves what was right and what was wrong, and they left the blessings of God because they followed after their own ways. How many of you, besides me in this room, have followed after the folly of your own ways? How many of us have been successful in following after our own ways? Okay, so we've all come to that educational curve where we have decided, you know what? Following after my ways doesn't work out so good. So there, as the Hebrew hot dog developers, we answer to a higher authority. And we have decided, you know what, there is a greater right and there is definitely a wrong. Amen? The wrong, God would call sin. The right is the righteousness that Jesus Christ came to deliver onto each of us who would do only one thing, simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read his word. Read the word of God. Submerse yourself in it. And God will show you what's right and what's wrong. However, we're not left to guess about it. In fact, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, if you'll look at that outline and read that with me, please. Here's the right way to live according to God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. That is the right and the wrong. Amen? If we would all love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, would there be any question about whether the person sitting across the aisle is truly following after Christ or not, even though you don't even know anything about them? Would there be any question in your mind? No, none, right? Because we would all be gathered here in this place. You see, this is the unity of the church. Is understanding the truth that we are all called to, and that truth that we are all called to is to love the Lord our God with everything that we are. And if we love the Lord our God with everything that we are, then we're not here just to grab and take. We're here to serve and to give. That's our greatest calling, folks. For God so loved the world, he showed us what to do. He gave. For God so loved the world, he gave. So we, if we're going to love God with everything that we are, we're here to give. We're not here just to take. Comprende? Or do I keep needing to run over this tack again, over and over and over? We got it? You're an intelligent crowd, I know that. You're not just handsome, you're intelligent. And I am so privileged as a pastor to be able to pastor such a handsome, intelligent group of people. You are beautiful beyond description. You're too marvelous for words. You're too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Why? Because I believe that each and every one of you are here because you truly love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And that you have found a place that you can gather together with others who are of the same like mind. And when we do, then what do we have? What do we gain? What do we embrace? It's the unity of the Spirit of God. Because I can look at you and I can go, you're my brother. And I'm your brother. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care if you come in here purple. Well, purple means you fall down a lot. But, sorry, Charlie, I know that's your perfect color. The outside appearance should not matter. What matters is what's in the heart. And what are you really here and all about? Are you hearing me this morning? You see, there's a spirit of disunity going around the churches anymore. A huge spirit of disunity. Oh, this one gets disgruntled about that one. Oh, we have this expectation, and well, that one didn't measure up, and so, well, fine, put that church behind me and let's go to the next one. Sure, I'm going to find the perfect church in Prescott Valley. And guess what? If you're there, you've just dirtied it up. Because there is no perfect church, just like there is no perfect person. We are all going to disappoint each other at one place or time. Amen? But we are called to operate what? In judgment? No, we're called to operate in what? Grace and love. Grace and love. We give each other grace. We love each other. We love our neighbor more than we love ourselves. But what happens? We end up loving ourselves so much more than we love the other person. That we get our feelings hurt. We get angry. We start pushing away. They're not meeting my needs, so I'm just going to go find my needs met somehow, somewhere else. Unity in the body of Christ comes from everyone striving with everything that they are to love God. And then the second commandment is just as equal to it, according to Jesus. And that is we are to love one another. We're to love one another. I'm not supposed to be about judgment about you. Neither are you supposed to be judging me. Except you are to listen to the words that I'm speaking. And if they are not the truth from God's word, then you confront me about that. But if it's the truth of God's word, then you have an obligation to move yourself into that truth. Not direct me or change me into the truth that you want to hear. That's my Tic Tacs. But rather, we're to be conformed to the Word of God. And as a pastor, again, I know I've said this several times, it is very scary to stand here and speak as if speaking the very words of God. But that's what I am called to do. And so I humble myself before God every week before I come and bring a message here, folks. I study to try to show myself approved as a workman who does not need to be embarrassed, but who presents the Word of God in a way that is palatable. It is easily taken in and understood. Why? So that you will take that word and apply it to your life. You see, at the end of the road, when we all stand before God, it's not going to be how many times you attended church. It's going to be how does my life reflect the truth of the Word of God? So if we're not studying the Word of God, number one, you got a problem. Because how can your life conform to the Word of God if you're not studying the Word of God? Can I hear an amen? Even if it comes from an ouch. So we've got to study the Word of God to know the Word of God that we are to conform to. That's part of loving God. You see, this Bible that we all own, two or three according to legends. We're not just to own the Bible, we're to own the Bible. We don't just have it to carry around and go, hey, pretty impressive, I got a Bible. No, we're to own it. You hear me? There's a little bit of a difference there, isn't there? The one is just, you know, well, hey, I'll walk around with all pride. I own a Bible. Yes, indeedy, I own a Bible. I'm pretty potent kind of guy. And then I go out and I live any way that I want to. My words, I come out with cursing and crudeness. and harshness? Well, I'm not owning the Bible then. I get angry fast. I'm not owning the Bible. Yes, God is a God of anger, but oh, I praise God that He holds back His anger at some of the stupid things that I've done in my life. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. It's what we're all supposed to be about. Not just some of us. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and all of the prophets. You see, go with me on the next paragraph. Christian beliefs aim to describe the way things are in God's view. It is concerned to tell the truth in order that others may agree and act upon that belief. It is an expression of a caring and responsible faith, a faith prepared to give an account for the way one lives. It's a passionate concern that our attitudes and our actions, our hopes and fears, are a right response toward the one true God, giving witness to His truth in our life. Thank you, David Horton, producer of the book called The Portable Seminary, which this statement is taken from. This is not Pastor Don wisdom here. I have relied on a higher source. Praise God. So our beliefs aim to describe the way things are in God's view. So how are things in God's view? They're not things according to man's view, are they? Because if things were according to man's view, well, we'd all be hoarding food and having all sorts of guns in our, because nobody's going to come steal our stuff. In fact, we're going to kill them if they even try to, because that's not in the Word of God, is it? I mean, we'll throw out that one command, do not kill. I have no need for it. If I feel threatened, I'm going to kill. Because after all, I have the ability to go out and buy myself all sorts of guns and magazines, and man, I'm going to riddle you full of holes. Is that what the Word of God says, folks? I hope not. Because if that's what the Word of God says, I'm following the wrong God. I want the God that's about love. I want the God that's going to be my protector, my shield. The one that I rely on. And if somebody comes up to me and says, you know what, Don? That's really a nice bike you've got, you own now, that your wife has finally agreed to let you have so that she can ride comfortably on the back of it. That's a really nice bike. Man, that thing's beautiful. But you know what, Don? What? That bike's mine now. Get yourself off my bike. Step away, or I will riddle you full of holes. Now, you see, that man's mind might think that he's right to take my bike. Why? Because he's got a power of life or death. You know what God's word says? Don't fear him who can take your life. Fear him who has the power of your soul. So you want to kill me for my bike? Please, my reward waits me. But step away from my bike, punk, because you ain't getting it. I bought this for my wife. You ain't taking nothing from my wife. No, really, honey, I did. She's not convinced about that yet. Oh, my. This next quote, would you read this with me, please? Be sure of the truth you follow, coupled with an ability to express it consistently and intelligently using words if necessary. Then you will make followers. Be sure of the truth you follow. You know, people want you to be sure about what it is that you know. I mean, people are hunting around for somebody to show them the way to do things. I mean, that's why we have so many factions in our world today. There's a young man whose last name I will probably stumble over, and so that way I will not even try to pronounce it. But you see, right in his mind is when our national anthem is played, I'm not going to give it any honor. Why? Because I have a political agenda, and because he has professed his political agenda on his day of work, then he has had a movement going on. And there's this sentiment running around, and it's one that we need to squish like a bug. And it's this: Black Lives Matter. And that's the answer right there. All lives matter. It's not the color of your skin that determines what matters. It's who you are. And you are all made in the image of God. In the image of God, each and every one of you have been made. And so all lives matter based upon the truth of God's word. Can I hear an amen, please? I mean, that's a unified ethic that this church will come together on. I will not back down off that. But just as I am not capable of professing my political beliefs, so these other people who are at work should be banned from taking their political beliefs to their stage. Amen? These men should be about playing a game that they're being overpaid to be playing in the first place. And it's all for what? Entertainment. Excuse me? This is not for the glorification of God. This is for the glorification of themselves, of their abilities. And yes, there are some whose lives are given over to the Lord, and I appreciate their testimonies. Oh, man, I've heard so many great testimonies from professional football players, but they are not the ones out there pontificating their political beliefs on a football field. They are the ones who, when they make a touchdown or they make a famous play, because it's all for the Lord. And that's who we as a church and believers should be. We should so know what it is that we are believing in that when people try to rock us off of our beliefs, we can come back and say, no, the Word of God says this. And how can we do that if we don't study the Word of God? Hello, am I going around in circles here? But it is so important that we read, study, put into action what we read in God's Word. Because that's what will change us. Be sure of the truth you follow, coupled with an ability to express it consistently and intelligently using words if necessary. Then you will make followers. You see, just as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. as you see Christ in me, then I want you to follow after me. But if you don't see Christ in me, there's something wrong. You see, because Christ didn't come to be served. He came to what? To serve. So each of us should have that same attitude. We should come here with an attitude to serve. We shouldn't have to be searching for people to fill positions in the church. Instead, each of us should be using our gifts and our abilities, and even though you don't even think you have a gift or an ability, you should be giving of yourself to the work of the church. And what would the work of the church be? Making sure that the truths that we all know, and I understand, I stand up here and I see the age of this congregation. You are not a bunch of young Christians. Sorry. Don't take that offensively. Instead, embrace your maturity in the Lord and in His Word, and have a desire to share that knowledge that you have with who?
Well, I'm going to show it to the next guy because I can make him think of what a fool he is.
No. Share it with the next generation. Share it with the next generation. My wife now has the directorship of the children's ministry. Why? Because she's married to me. It's not truly the desire of her heart to do that. She would rather be doing women's ministry and mentoring women. But instead, by default of being a pastor's wife, she is also the children's director and the women's director. Women, would you do me a favor, please? Would you take one of these off my wife? Don't take advantage of her because she's my wife and the pastor's wife. Instead, would you please step up into either the children's director role or the women's ministry role? Please? Why should you just come here and take all the time? Come and give. It's what the Lord did. It's what God did. It's what we are to do. We are to give of our time and our talents to the Lord. Teachers. We don't have people that will volunteer to be teachers. Why? This is the next generation. We should be speaking into them. And I'm not talking about just the women. I'm talking about all people here. If you have been shown the love of Jesus, show the love of Jesus to the next generation. It's one of the saddest commentaries in Judges chapter 2, I think it is. Call me out on this if I'm not right. But it says the generation following Joshua did not follow after the Lord because they never knew how to worship God. We should embrace young families if they come in here. Embrace them with the love because you are parents and grandparents in the Lord. As long as you've been following after Him, you don't need to hear my gibberish up here every Sunday. You should be pouring it out to someone else. That's why we're so heavy on the mentoring program. We should be mentoring others. That's why I brought Willie Anderson, Pastor Willie Anderson, on board with us, is to push us more intentionally towards making followers of Christ. Because that's what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about making followers of Jesus Christ. If you have a different opinion about the Bible than that, let's sit down and discuss it. Because I will show you the very commission that is given to each and every one of us is to make disciples, to make followers. And how can you make followers if you don't have any knowledge, which takes it all back to why are you not studying the Word of God yourself? But not just alone, but if I truly understand something, or maybe I don't understand something, then I need to gather together with others to have them teach me the truth about God's Word and how I can apply it into my life. And then how I can show others how to live that life. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Read this with me, please. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking goes away and forgets all what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed in what he does. Have you felt like, well, I'm just not being blessed by God lately? Well, are you really doing what God's called you to do in the first place? Are you loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? Are you studying his word? Are you taking that and discipling someone else in the truth that you know? But here's the attitude of the world. And this is exactly, this could be taken right out of our headlines today. Matthew 24, verses 12 to 14. Read this with me, please. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I did a study. It was a study on missiology, missions as it pertained to the Christian beliefs. And the study of missionary life all throughout the history of mankind since Christ left and gave it to the disciples and from then it rolled on. So it was a study of missiology. And the professor, I'll never forget, the first night, he just blew me right out of my chair. He says, you know what's keeping the coming of Jesus Christ away? You know what's keeping it? And we all like came up with different answers. You know, well, maybe it's just the climate of the world, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. And he goes, no. He says, this is the main answer to that question that I just asked you. Until the very last person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, the return of Christ is kept at bay. And then he got in my grill and he said, are you sharing Jesus Christ with others? Because the very next person you talk to could be the very last person that is keeping the return of Christ from coming. How many of you want the return of Christ? How many of you are talking to others about Christ then? Okay? It all goes about to application. I want. Then make it happen. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And make that day happen. Amen? The harvest is great. The laborers are few.